Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everyone doing? I am having such a great week. I've been to see Charles Eston on Monday, who some of you might know. He's a country singer and he's the guy that played Deacon in Nashville. If any of you are familiar with that show, it is one of my all-time favourites. I definitely recommend it. So that was amazing. And then I'm also going to see Fletcher in concert. Well, when you're listening to this, I will have already been to see her. But completely different musical vibe, but still a great week for music for me this week. Two amazing artists. And as well as some amazing music, I have been busy this week welcoming new members into my group coaching program, which begins next week. And if you haven't enrolled already, but you've been toying with the idea of joining us, it is time to stop playing around because doors officially close tomorrow at midnight UK time. And I actually wanted to talk a little bit before we get into today's episode about two questions that I've had about the program, because I think they're going to be really helpful questions for me to answer for everyone. The first was, will I really get the support I need and make changes if I'm in a group setting as opposed to one-on-one? And this is such a common concern for people that are signing up for group coaching, because not only are we investing money into something, so we want to make sure that we create the result that we really want, but we're also being emotionally vulnerable and opening up about some really painful thoughts and feelings that we've probably been brushing to the side up until this point. So the idea of a bunch of strangers being along for the ride can be a little bit scary and intimidating. And I felt the exact same way. Before I found coaching, I'd only ever been to one-on-one therapy and had the therapist's attention solely on me. But how my group sessions work is we do 30 minutes of teaching about a specific tool or concept. For example, we could be talking about manuals, your thoughts about you, fear of rejection, dealing with uncertainty, people pleasing, all the kinds of stuff you hear about on the podcast. And then, so we do half an hour of that. And then I ask for 2 to 3 volunteers to raise their hands and be coached live. So we're not just all chatting together and chiming in together. That's not how it works. Each person is getting help with a specific issue that they're struggling with. And then I open it up to any questions from the wider group for the last 10 minutes at the end. And the most amazing thing about this structure and about group coaching is actually how much your brain will learn and the amount of epiphanies and shifts in your own thinking you will create from watching somebody else who's got a brain just like yours being coached. Anyone that signs up to the program is feeling anxious and insecure in their relationships. So actually being an observer of them being coached, seeing their brains being coached and questioned and prodded and poked, isn't that different from you being coached yourself? They may be talking about an issue they're having with their mother-in-law, but the thoughts they're having will be so similar to the way you're currently thinking about your partner's best friend or your own parent, whatever it is. So the coaching I provide doesn't only help them, but it helps you too. And you apply what you've learned from watching other people get coached to your own brain. And I think there was at least 5 people in the last round that said to me afterwards that they were so nervous about joining because of it being a group program. But they said that it turned out the fact it was a group was actually their favorite part of the program in the end, because they loved watching other people get coached and cheering each other on in the Facebook group. And one person said it was particularly comforting to realize that she wasn't alone in having certain thoughts and feelings, that there were other people out there feeling the exact same way. And in the group, you will be accompanied by no more than 10 people. So I like to keep it pretty small. Not everyone is able to attend every single week due to commitments. So it's very rare that all 10 people attend at once. So there's plenty of opportunities to claim that hot seat and be coached yourself. Plus, you also get a monthly one-on-one call with me that's just me and you, 3 times across the 12 weeks. And the second question I had was someone asking if this was only for people in relationships, which my answer was no, definitely not. The person that wrote this to me said that she really wanted to work on friendship anxiety. And I told her that the program is for people dealing with any kind of relationship mind drama, whether that's while they're in romantic relationships, family relationships, friends, co-workers, dating, whatever it is. And you can also be single and come to the program just to get your brain in a better shape when you are next in a romantic relationship. And in the last round, there was such a lovely mix of people who were single, in relationships, dating, and we coached on so many topics. So feel free to bring anything you want to the sessions. So you have until tomorrow at midnight to grab your spot. Sessions are on Mondays at 12 p.m. UK time or Tuesdays at 6 p.m. UK time. So once you enroll, you get to pick which group you want to join. So just Google 12 p.m. UK time to whatever time zone you are in to see what that works out as for you. So it's 12 p.m. on Mondays, 6 p.m. on Tuesdays. And you can pay $750 in full, or you can opt for the payment plan, which is £250 a month for 3 months. And for those of you that listen to my podcast avidly and love my posts, but feel nervous about investing in yourself, I totally get it. I've had the exact same feeling before every coaching experience I've invested in. We so easily spend money on clothes, holidays, cars, other experiences. But when it comes to our own brains, we tend to kind of panic. It's not really the norm to invest so much in our own minds. Even though our brains are the thing creating our entire experience of reality, we feel like it's a little bit frivolous and we feel scared. What if it doesn't work? What if I spend all this money and then I'm no different in the end? But I've taken hundreds of people through this program now, and those that have shown up, committed to using the tools and doing the work, have always been so proud of themselves and the results that they've created. Because you create those results, not me. I am your guide on this journey, and I will be offering you the tools and the insights and helping you along the way. But it is going to be you that creates those changes. It's going to be you that changes the way you think and feel, not me. So believe in yourself and believe in your ability to change, because I definitely believe in you. And I'm so excited to get started next week. I'll put the link to sign up and all the details in the information section of this episode. So definitely go and check that out. Or you can go on my website, so rebeccaorrcoaching.com/group coaching, or drop me an email or message on Instagram if you have any questions at all. Okay, on to today's topic. 5 signs you're giving away your power. This is such an important one. So what do I mean by giving away your power? Well, I teach that our thoughts create our feelings, which means in any situation, you are responsible for the way you feel. No, you are not to blame. Blame implies that something has gone wrong and that you are wrong for feeling negatively, so we need to blame you for it. That's not the same thing as being responsible. You are never wrong for feeling negative emotion. And sometimes we want to think and feel negatively about what other people have said and done. We don't want to be happy. We want to feel sad and disappointed. We want to feel angry about some of the things happening in the world right now. But the point of this work is to help you take back control over how you want to choose to intentionally think, feel, and respond to any of the situations that life throws at you. And that is impossible to do when we're making things outside of us determine how we get to feel and respond. And so I'm going to talk about 5 key signs that you may have some work to do on this. Number 1, you're moaning about the same person or situation over and over. And we have all done it. I am guilty of this myself. The situation or person hasn't changed, but you can't help but want to keep bringing it up over and over. Maybe every time you see your friends, you bitch to them about the same thing, the same person, the same situation. Now, again, this is totally human and natural. It's good to get things off our chest, and there's nothing wrong with venting to friends. But when you're continuously venting about the same thing over and over, and you're focusing on what's wrong and what you wish were different, you are reinforcing the idea to your brain that you are powerless. You're not talking constructively about how you want to show up to make the situation any better for yourself. You're not taking steps forward in dealing with the situation in a new way. You're just keeping yourself trapped in the feeling of helplessness and victimhood, and it feels terrible. Okay, 2, you're feeling resentful. Feeling resentful is a huge signal that we're giving our power away. When we're resenting someone else, we're usually believing that they've done something or they're doing something, which means we can't feel the way that we want to feel. Maybe you've made a request of them and they've said no, or maybe they've said yes, but then they've gone back to behaving the exact way they were before. And so you think you have to feel annoyed and frustrated and blame them for it. Or maybe you've said yes to doing someone a favor when you really wished you'd said no, and now you resent them for asking you in the first place. Whatever your own situation is, just notice where you're making them and their behavior responsible for how you get to feel. So maybe it's, if they hadn't asked me for a ride to the airport, I wouldn't have had to feel guilty and then agree to doing something that I didn't want to do and now feel annoyed and frustrated. Or if they just text me back faster, I wouldn't have to feel anxious and on edge waiting to hear from them. We give our power away when we're believing that how other people act creates our emotions, because we miss out on understanding that it's always our own thinking creating those emotions, which means we also miss out on taking control over those thoughts and choosing how we want to think and feel in those situations on purpose. We don't notice how we don't actually have to feel guilty for saying no and working on doing that. We don't work on the anxious thoughts creating the anxiety when we haven't heard back from them. Resentment keeps us in a place of powerlessness and stopping us from seeing where our power lies. Okay, number three, you're focusing on how they should change. We've all been that. We could all write beautiful essays filled with all the ways that other people should change their behaviour. Our friends should make more effort and initiate plans with us more. Our partner should be more romantic and suggest more fun activities. Our parents should show more interest in us, or maybe we want them to show less interest and stop asking us so many questions all the time. But when we're focusing on how they need to change, again, it's because we're telling ourselves that we can't feel the way we want to until they do. So until my friends make more effort and initiate plans, I can't feel confident and good enough. Until my partner starts planning fun date nights, I can't feel excited and have fun. Until my parents show more of an interest in me, I can't feel important and valuable. But changing them is something that is not within your control. And while it feels good to point fingers at someone else, focusing on them and how they should change stops you recognizing how you should change, where you could be more direct with what you're wanting, where you could set a boundary, where you could be challenging your own thoughts and stop making their behavior mean something about you, where you could work on validating and loving yourself. Number four, you're overly focused on what they think instead of what you think. I was just coaching one of my one-on-one clients on this, and she was talking about how she often worries about what people think about her. And when I asked her, what would it mean if they did think badly of you? She said it would mean that she wasn't good enough. And this is so, so common. Our brains like to base what we think about us on how others might think. So if they think we're attractive, we can believe we're attractive. If they think we're not fun or interesting, then we can't think that we are. If they think we're selfish, then we have to think that's true, that we are selfish. But what anyone else thinks about you is just one optional thought. Their opinion isn't a fact. It's just one way someone could choose to think about you or that particular situation. And when you're all caught up in what someone else might choose to think, you're not focusing on and deciding on purpose what you are going to choose to think. You're forgetting that you have the power to think whatever you want, regardless of someone else's opinion. They could think you're a fool for getting back with your ex, and you could choose to think that it's the best decision for you and that you're proud of yourself for choosing to forgive. They could think your new outfit is hideous, and you could choose to think that it's cute and that you look great in it. They could think that you saying no was selfish, and you could choose to believe that you are still an amazing friend, even when you say no to doing things that you don't want to do. It is all optional. Okay, and here's number five, which is really just a summary of the first 4 points. You are not considering what's within your control. Maybe you're feeling anxious and worrying about something that may or may not happen in the future. Maybe it's whether your partner is going to cheat on you or leave. And what you're focusing on is whether they are going to choose to do that, which isn't in your control. And you're not focusing on what is in your control in this moment, and what would be in your control if that thing ever happened. For example, you can't control if they cheat on you and leave, but you can control how you choose to show up in the relationship today. You can control the way you choose to speak to yourself about your mistakes and whether you choose to work on yourself. And if they did leave, you can control what you choose to make that mean about you and how you would show up for yourself in that situation. Whether you would choose to make it mean you're unlovable and that you'll never find somebody else, or whether you'll choose to make it mean that you are still 100% worthy and valuable and be there for yourself as you grieve the relationship. Maybe you're frustrated that your partner won't help out more around the house and you're focusing on what you can't control, which is them and their behavior. What you're not focusing on is what you can control, which is choosing to do the things that you want to be done, or maybe choosing to set a boundary where you will only do certain things and not others. I had a client once who was so frustrated because she wanted her partner to put his clothes in the washing basket instead of on the floor. And she was so fixated on why he couldn't just be different. And she was making it mean a whole bunch of horrible things about her, that he didn't respect her. And she was trying to control something that was totally outside of her control. And as we were coaching, she started to realize all the ways she actually had much more power than she realized. She had multiple choices. She could decide that she was just going to pick the clothes up and put them in the washing basket herself and not make that mean anything terrible and let it ruin her day. She could decide to leave the clothes on the floor and simply manage her mind to not make that an issue or feel frustrated and annoyed about the clothes being there. She could decide she was going to simply keep asking him to pick up the clothes each time he left them and not make the fact that she has to ask him a problem. She could just accept his brain doesn't have the neural pathway in it that currently allows him to do this automatically. So hey, I will just remind him every day and then I get to have no clothes on the floor and he gets to go about his life. No big deal. Or maybe she could decide that his behavior was a deal breaker and she wanted to leave the relationship and go and be with someone else who shared her ideas of cleanliness and how the house should be. She had so many options. And most importantly, she didn't need to control something outside of her in order to feel better. But because she was focusing on what she couldn't have power over, she missed out all the ways she did have power, on all the ways she could change her thinking about this in order to feel a lot less frustrated, annoyed, and resentful. All the things that she could actually control, which was her own thoughts, her feelings, and her actions. I see this a lot with boundary work too, which is one of the core subjects we cover in the group coaching program. When we're so focused on trying to control things that we don't have control over, we forget that we can set boundaries. We can decide, if they yell at me, I'm going to leave the room. If they aren't able to speak openly about their feelings, I'm going to choose to end this relationship. If they don't let me know when they're free to see me, I'm going to choose to make other plans for my time and not just wait around for them. When we're so busy focusing on them, we miss the actions that we could be taking and owning those because we're so caught up in trying to change that. This is such a huge part of why I created this group coaching program, because I used to live my life just feeling like a victim to other people and wishing so desperately that they would change so that I could feel better. And I felt so, so powerless. And after learning these tools and these concepts and finally taking that responsibility back in myself, I know I can shift myself to power in any situation. And I don't naturally sit in power all of the time. God no. My brain is just like yours. It loves to divert to helplessness and powerless mode. But I can snap myself out of that super quickly now because I can spot it. I can notice the thoughts creating it and I can challenge and change them. Which is exactly what you're going to learn to do in the group coaching program. So I'll tell you a little bit more about the topics that we cover across the 12 weeks. We're going to be covering how to process your emotions so that they no longer control the way that you show up in your relationships. Thought awareness, so that you can identify and question your default ways of thinking. Self-compassion for your anxious brain, so you're no longer judging and shaming yourself and beating yourself up for the way that you're currently thinking. You're going to learn how to use the self-coaching model, which is the tool that you can use in any situation for managing your mind. We dive into challenging your limiting beliefs, so that's including fear of rejection, jealousy, your thoughts about you. And I teach you how to rewire your thinking patterns and create new habit thoughts so that your brain will begin to default to more confident and secure ways of thinking instead of always reverting back to its natural, anxious, insecure thought habits. We do a session on dealing with uncertainty in relationships by developing self-certainty and focusing on what you can control, even in the worst case scenarios. We talk about manuals and our expectations of others, so learning how to let go of the desire to control other people and coming back to controlling your own thoughts and feelings. And of course, as mentioned, we talk all about boundaries and people-pleasing, and we work through the mind drama keeping you trying to please and manipulate how other people think about you and stopping you from setting healthy boundaries. It's basically all the tools and concepts I talk about on this podcast organized into an easy-to-digest, methodical 12-week program. And it's for you if you are done feeling anxious and insecure in your relationships and you tend to be a logical thinker like me that feels best with clear tools and concepts to refer to and actually put into practice. And that's nothing against fluff and woo, but I'm just not a fluffy woo person. And if you like this podcast and you resonate with how I talk about things, you probably aren't either and you probably already know that. So that's great. That means you're going to love it. So doors to enrol close tomorrow night at midnight and spots are limited. So make sure to go and grab your spot now if you know that this is for you. I won't be doing another round of this program this year because I do have my wedding and my honeymoon coming up. So if 2024 is the year that you are going to master your relationship mind drama for good, it is now or never. Okay, that is all I've got for you today, guys. A little bit shorter than usual, but I hope this episode was helpful for you. And as always, if you are loving this podcast, could you go and give it a rating on whatever platform it is that you are listening from? That would mean the absolute world to me and keep me reaching more and more people with this work. I hope you all have lovely weekends and I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.